Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in and sharing your time with us tonight. This is DSMA Live. DSMA stands for Diabetes Social Media Advocacy and is a program provided by the Diabetes Community Advocacy Foundation. We are all about empowering, connecting, supporting, and educating those who live with diabetes. Tune in every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern at dsmalive.org. Our show is recorded live, and tonight is the 1st of October, 2015. We'd love to hear from anyone out there listening. Our call-in number is 760-283-5150. Again, that number is 760-283-5150. My name is Scott. I'm one of the co-hosts. Our other co-host, George, is not going to be able to make it tonight. And then we've got Charisse, the founder and creator of DSMA.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. It was weird because you actually went through that really fast because I'm sitting here like, okay, I got a little bit of time before I say something, but you kind of popped in really fast. So how are you doing?
I'm good. I think I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed with a lot of different things right now, so maybe I'm just in a fast, I'm moving fast with a lot of different things tonight. And just period.
Yeah, because you haven't traveled this week, have you?
No, I'm actually home, and I don't have anything on the travel agenda for a while, so I'm finally able to just sit down and get some work done. And I'm so behind. I owe so many people so many things, and maybe that's why I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed. And I've just been cranking through my to-do list, which feels really good, but it's very long. I feel like I have so many things left to do. So I'm just like, you know, get one thing done, just on to the next, on to the next, on to the next.
You know, isn't it that's life, right? I mean, you get something done and then something else pops up, or you try to create something or do something and something else pops up. It's like the cycle never stops.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Never stops.
Yeah, and
so.
You know, we've you know, I'm still definitely a victim of my own worst habits, and one of my bad habits is when I encounter something that I don't want to think about or that is challenging to work through, I like to distract myself by checking my email or looking at, you know, Twitter or quote-unquote multitasking, right? And it's unbelievable how much time I can just waste by flitting around from one thing to the next and not really, just not getting anything of any substance done. And when I can really just focus and turn everything else off and get into the zone, it's so much more. I just do so much more, right? So there's this. I remember back when I was coming out of high school and applying for jobs right out of high school. It used to be a benefit to say I'm a good multitasker, and I'm not so sure that's a good thing anymore. It's a bad thing. It takes me down a unproductive spiral, I'm afraid. How about you? What do you find with that?
Okay, so I personally believe that for me, I'm good at multitasking when people aren't live in front of me. And the reason why is because I can do two things at once, but to physically, like, talk to someone in person or on the phone, I get easily distracted. So I lose focus with the most important thing, which is that conversation. So, I mean, it's funny because if you listen to a few DSMA live shows when we first started, when we were trying to Twitter chat and everything along with it, you can tell that I was kind of off, and that's because I wasn't focused on the conversation. So I would say, yeah, and I think the older that I get, it's, you can tell, And also, too, I used to never have to write things down as far as make to-do lists, and now if I don't write it down, I'm going to forget.
Hmm. Yeah. You know, there's also that school of thought that your brain should only have to think about a thing one time. And I find if I don't, so this is kind of the theory of that getting things done method of to-doing. And that method uses sort of an inbox for any tasks or things you have to do. And if your brain thinks of it, your job is to get it out of your brain and onto a paper or whatever system you use so that your brain doesn't spend any more cycles thinking of it over and over again, or you know, you don't have to remember it three or four times through the day saying, oh yeah, I have to remember to do that, or, you know, over and over again through the day. But it's that takes some discipline too, because then you have to be sure to go through and process that inbox. Yeah, I don't know. It's a challenge to stick with a good to-do system and stay on top of it.
Oh, definitely. So, what's been going on in your world besides trying to play catch up and avoid things by doing other things?
Well, staying very busy at My Sugar, and we've got a lot of fun things going on. Unfortunately, I can't talk about much of them right now. The folks at headquarters moved into a new office space in Vienna, so I'm excited about my next trip to headquarters. I'll get to see a brand new office, so it's an exciting period of growth for us, where we outgrew the office that we had moved into not that long ago. So this new office, one of the challenges that I would have when I would visit headquarters is where am I going to sit today? And I'd often find myself just bouncing around from spot to spot, depending on who was in meetings or who was out for half the day or whatever. But I'm excited that at the new office I should have plenty of space to set up my work zone when I'm visiting. So I can't wait to see it. I'm very excited about that, and I've been looking at pictures online, and looks like a really great space. So I'm happy about that. Yeah, other than that, it's just I've just been trying to get through my inbox, like you say, playing catch up, and yeah, that's about it, I think.
As I say, I don't think you'll ever be caught up. I mean, there's no way. I mean, unless you took a week off and you did nothing but play catch up, but then you still get behind because you still have to play catch up.
Mm-hmm.
There's like not enough time in the day, because, like I said, it's just crazy, right? You set goals and
yeah.
You try to clean out your email inbox and you try to do. But I admire people that can do that. Unfortunately, I am not one of those people that can do that. One day, maybe I'll get there when I don't have 20 million different things going on in my life. You know.
Mhm. Yeah.
So
and it seems like the more email you do, the more email happens. I don't know. I don't know if that's just me, or if that is really true or not. But it seems like it just is a never-ending thing. But I really appreciate the connections and people reaching out and hearing about new projects and new initiatives. I'm in a space with my work and time and family and everything happening right now that unfortunately I can't get as involved with as many things as I'd like to. So I have to either say no, I can't get involved right now, or just flat out not reply or not respond, which is I think the worst of it. But it's just impossible to keep up with everything that comes in. But I do really appreciate it and love it that there's so many great things happening out there. The other thing that I've been really missing and feeling disconnected from is just reading, being able to take time to read everyone's blogs and social media activities. So I'm going to make a real effort to try and carve out some time. In fact, I did this last night, and it was really fun and felt good to sit and read a bunch of blog posts, even if I'm not able to comment on them like I'd like to. I typically, if I'm going to spend time reading blog posts, I also like to spend time commenting on blog posts to let people know that I took the time to read what they wrote. But I think if I have to make a choice between reading and not commenting versus not reading at all, I think I'm going to choose reading and not commenting if I have to. So at least that way I can keep in touch with what's happening in people's lives. But really, you know, Charisse, what a great problem to have. I know I've said this before, but the fact that there are so many people sharing their stories and contributing to the greater overall voice of diabetes in the online community, that we can't keep up with it anymore. That's really amazing to me, and we're really blessed to have such an active community out there.
Oh, I definitely agree. I remember where you used to be able to comment on everything that you read. You even when you got behind, you did drive-bys, and mm-hmm. you know, you did it. But I think, actually, I know as you've grown and you get involved in more things, it's almost impossible to do. So I think it's amazing that you're going to sit there and try to find some blogs and read. I think more people probably appreciate you reading than leaving a comment these days, because I know, you know, life is busy, and I think sometimes you just got to sit there, read it, and pay attention. Because sometimes, though, I remember when I used to comment on blogs, is that if there was a lot of blogs that I read back-to-back, that my comments would feel like I was saying the same thing over and over again. So I got to the point where I would rather read than comment, unless there was something that I needed to really, really comment on. Like if someone was having a hard time, that's different. But for the most part, I felt like I was saying the same thing over and over again.
Yeah. It's a hard, I think a hard balance, right? Like on one hand, I want to let the person know that, hey, I spent the time to read and enjoy and appreciate what you wrote. On the other hand, I might not have any super wise, witty comment to share other than thank you. That was a great post. You know, I enjoyed
right.
the time I spent reading it. So I don't know what's the right thing to do there. Because I definitely see where you're coming from, and I've also often felt the same where my comment of thank you, I appreciated that post and enjoyed the time I spent reading it feels a bit less than invested in the comment, if that makes any sense.
Oh no, it definitely makes a lot of sense. Definitely makes a lot of sense. So. I'm curious, if you find some new blogs and find someone different, and if there's a topic or something that you want to discuss, I would love for you to share it next week during the show.
Yeah, okay, definitely. I'll now I have to keep track of what I was reading too, but I'll definitely do that.
I mean, even if it's the first one you read, that's okay. But I'm just curious to see, you know, something new that you didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it's funny because as I'm talking to you, my lovely daughter's in the background trying to show me something at the same time, and see, this is where multitasking becomes a very bad thing. So I just shoot her away, so she should be leaving pretty soon. So last night,
yeah, it's hard.
Were you, yeah, it is. It's really hard. Were you able to check out BSMA Live, not live, but the Twitter chat?
I did kind of pop in and out, and boy, we had some really hard, tough questions, and I really appreciate those, and they make me think, and I so value the different perspectives and feedback from everyone in the community. It's another great way that that the community shines and opens me up to see things from a different angle.
Right, but it's crazy because sometimes, especially with me being in school and working, it's hard to be creative when your mind is you know, filled with, you know, work and school and home. So lately I've been going back into the archive of BSMA. So this chat mm-hmm. was actually taken from 2010. So it was actually, you know, 6 months after we started BSMA. And I was like, hey, you know what? Some of this stuff is can be reused. We can recycle it. So especially with there being so many new people that's starting to participate. So I thought it would be a good topic to bring back. And the only other reason why I thought it would be a good topic is because recently I received, actually Monday, I received my Dexcom, the G5 system.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, and it's pretty awesome. You don't have to carry the receiver around, so everything is fed through mm-hmm. the iPhone, which is awesome. But I didn't have, with the old system that I had, I didn't have the capability to share anything. So,
right.
of course, I'm sharing my blood sugars with my husband and a couple mm-hmm. other people. But I was like, hey, you know what? Let me see, you know, what I can do with my mother, because being diagnosed as an adult, I didn't live at home
mm-hmm.
when I was, you know, when I found out I had diabetes. So I shared my blood sugars, my readings with my mom. And the first day she was like, okay, so you can kind of tell she, I didn't hear from her. So I called her Tuesday morning. I'm like, so how's it going? She said, well, your blood sugars, they stayed high all night long. They were like in the 200s. I was like, how did you? I was like, did you say it? She said, yeah, I actually watched it. She said, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I'm okay. I was like, I think it's maybe school, right? She was like, oh, okay. She said, so I wanted to call you. Would it have been okay for me to call you? And I'm like, if it's high for a long period of time and I'm asleep, call me. Or if it's low after, you know, the first alert, wait 15 minutes, and if nothing happens, then call me. She was like, okay. So, and then I agreed, because I don't have my ringer up on my phone, because I use my Pebble watch to answer calls mm-hmm. and everything vibrates. So I told her, okay, so if I agree to this, then I'm going to turn my ringer up. So when she calls me in the middle of the night, I can hear the phone ring. So last night, you know, my whole household is probably immune to, you know, the rings, the dings, and the alarms and everything that pumps and CGMs have to offer. So I heard the alarm on my iPhone, but in my head I didn't register it as it being my Dexcom, because I'm not used to my Dexcom being on my cell phone. So
sure.
I heard a baby crying, so I'm listening. I'm like, shoot, somebody, where's this baby coming from? And I didn't realize that it was actually my blood sugar was low, so I just threw the phone, right?
Hold on a second. The baby crying, is it literally the sound of a baby crying, or is that
yes.
just what your brain heard?
No. So on the new receiver, so on the iPhone for the Dexcom, there's alerts inside of the app, right?
App, yeah.
So those alerts, you can change your high and your low sounds to whatever
okay.
you want it to be
mm-hmm.
with inside the
I see.
App. So I was like, okay.
Gotcha.
I'm not used to hearing babies cry, so this will work, right?
Yeah.
Wrong answer. My mom called. It was about 3:30 in the morning. She was like, hey, your blood sugar says urgent low. Wake up and check it. I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And when I checked it, it was 38.
Wow. Mm.
So my mom was like, so after I ate a couple of glucose tablets and I went downstairs to the kitchen, I was like, hey, you know what? Usually, because, you know, I don't like to bother, even though I know it's not really bothering him because he would get up. I just don't like to bother, you know, my husband and my daughter when they're sleeping to help me. I know that sounds crazy, but it's like an inconvenience. Mm-hmm. So to me, I don't say anything. So usually when I'm low, I get up and I go downstairs and I get a snack and no one knows unless I put it on Facebook or whatever. But it was kind of fun, actually, talking to my mom, right? She was like, you know, I asked her, I said, is it too much information? She said, no. She said, because I'm involved and I want to know, I don't know what you're going through because I wasn't in a house with you. So to be able to feel connected to you in that way is pretty cool. She said, plus I'm up all hours of the night anyway. So if I keep getting alerts, I can at least call. And she said, was it okay for me to call? I said, yeah. I said, because, you know, Scott's immune to the sound too, so he's not going to wake up. I said, when he's out, he's out. So if I'm asleep and you're up and I'm low, call me.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy how, you know, to hear her response, it made her, because she said sometimes when I post stuff on Facebook, she doesn't know what I'm talking about. And now she's learning and understanding through me, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool. It's interesting because I have the G4 with Share. So I don't have the G5 yet, but I've got the G4 with Share. So it does allow me to share my information with some people, and I also share with my dad. And he also gets the urgent low notices. So like the the non-urgent, like all lows are urgent, right? But what we mean when we say the urgent lows are the when the Dexcom goes below 55. And he says the ones that really call his attention are the below 55s with a down or angled arrow. If it's a gradual low, that's that low, but the arrow is sideways, then it doesn't scare him so much. But I always feel bad. I mean, I'm thankful and grateful that he's interested in watching. But of course, most of the lows I have that trigger that alarm happen during the middle of the night. So not only am I up dealing with it, but it's waking him up too. And I'm a lot like you, right? I don't like when my diabetes spills outside onto other people. You know, I don't want to bother them with the waking up and dealing with diabetes stuff. And it's a silly thought, right? Because they, of course, love us and want to be involved and want to help us however they can. And I think that both your mom and my dad would love to be able to take on much more of our diabetes than these little things, if they could. But when we first started to experiment with the Dexcom Share, and even prior to that, the Night Scout and being able to transmit information so that other people could see it, it was a really interesting experience for Dad. And to set the context a little bit before I say this, you know, back when Mom and Dad were involved in my diabetes care, there were, you know, things were a lot different. There were 4 or 5 blood sugar checks per day, and the insulins were much different, and we didn't have the level of micromanagement that we do today, you know, and we didn't have the level of closer to target blood sugars that we do today. So things were just a little bit different, and he was dealing with he and my mom were sharing the burden of just 4 or 5 pieces of information per day rather than, you know, hundreds of pieces of information. And so after a little bit of time of him watching and being able to see all of that information, he said that he's not ready to ride that roller coaster with me. And it sounds like you could take that in a cold or an unloving way, but that's not how I took it or how he meant it or how he said it or anything like that. It's a very, I think, a very true and eye-opening statement about just the sheer amount of information that we as people living with diabetes deal with. I mean, we are, when we're watching a CGM, we are dealing with an overwhelming amount of information coming at us all the time. And and you and I know, and everyone out there who's listening who lives with diabetes and has a CGM, they know as well that blood sugars move around a lot, and sometimes even regardless of what you do to try and keep them where you want them to be, they're flying all over the place sometimes. So I think it made Dad feel a bit helpless. And there was also a post by Maura McCarthy who was talking about watching her daughter's information on a similar system, and knowing that at the time she's having a low blood sugar, that she's also in a very important meeting at work and feeling so torn about the fact that her daughter has to deal with that diabetes crap at the same time as that important meeting at work and things like that. And so I think there's just being able to see all this information and have all that context, it's a big deal and really eye-opening for those around us who are looking in a bit more.
Oh no, I definitely agree. It's just crazy because, you know, like this technology, right? At first, you know, when Night Scout first came around, and I was like, do you remember the conversation? I was like, I don't know, you know, how I would feel having that information or even sharing it with anyone. And now I'm like, for some reason, something just clicked and said this would be a good way for my mom to see what it's like. Or, you know, the other night, the other morning I woke up and Scott was like, hey, you had a rough night. I'm like, yeah. At first I was like, how did you know? He's like, I was up and you just didn't know it. But it's just crazy how it brings, you know, it connects you more and it helps people really get a good idea of what's going on. Because I was talking about this with Sarah Knott, is that we shield so much and we hold so much of the truth about diabetes that when people actually see our truth in our life and through a Dexcom, it's eye-opening because we're naked. You know, you can see everything and there's no hiding. So to be able to be comfortable with exposing yourself, and it's kind of like liberating, right? Because it's like, okay, I'm really, you know, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning with low blood sugars and people know about it. So it's okay that, you know, they know that when I wake up and I'm tired, why I'm tired, or if I look droggy, they know why I'm droggy. It's because I woke up or because I had high blood sugars all night and I slept through it and I woke up and I got this headache. It's like a weight lifted because even though we know we're not alone, but to share those numbers, not because you want to share them, but it's because they have access and they can look at them at any given time of the day. It's kind of cool. It's kind of liberating. It's free, right? It's like finding the diabetes community and finding these people that get it. But then you have people around you that get it because they are walking, even though they're not physically dealing with it, but they're walking the walk with you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So it's crazy. It's crazy cool, but it's definitely something. I like the new system. Felt naked a little bit because, you know, you always have to have your receiver with you with the other system. So when I left home, I'm like, okay, it still works because, you know, it's like, okay, does this really work the way it says it works? And left my receiver at home. And it's funny because my receiver, I haven't charged it since Monday, and it's not even, my battery's not even halfway dead.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I'm very excited about. I've had nothing but very, very good experiences with Dexcom in general, even prior to the G5 stuff. Every time that I've had to order supplies or anything like that, it's as simple as making one phone call. To let them know and get them started on the process, and they basically take it from there. And I was absolutely surprised in a positive way because when the announcement that the G5 was coming and approved, I couldn't remember for sure, but I didn't think that I was eligible for an upgrade yet. I couldn't remember when I purchased my G4 system. But last weekend, this was on a Saturday actually, I got a phone call from Dexcom, just a courtesy call letting me know that the G5 was shipping and that I was indeed eligible for a new transmitter through my insurance, that I wasn't eligible for a transmitter and receiver. You know, that typically happens, they said, on an annual basis, but the the transmitters are more like 6 months for most insurance plans. And they asked if I would like them to look into my insurance and see if insurance would cover the upgrade to the G5. And I mean, that's a no-brainer, right? Of course, I was interested in having them see if I could upgrade. So, it's just been. I look at the pace, the rapid pace of different upgrades and improvements that we've seen from them. So, I'm going by memory here, but it was not that long ago that we had the free algorithm update where you plugged your receiver in to the computer and downloaded a thing from their website and had updated algorithm software on your receiver. And then shortly after that was the Dexcom Share. And then it was just, I don't know, 2 weeks ago they released the Dexcom Clarity system, which is a web-based reporting and uploading system, and I didn't even know that was coming, and just saw I happened to see it on Twitter and downloaded it and tried it, and it was super cool. And then we've got the G5 stuff going on, and like, What a cool thing going on where you've got so many technology advancements happening that you have to make decisions on what you release first. You know, it's
right.
I'm thrilled that that Dexcom has got so many things going on, and through it all, I've had, again, nothing but outstanding customer service and customer experiences through all of it, which sometimes when companies start doing a lot of things very fast, that customer experience takes a hit. But it's been wonderful for me, and I'm a big fan of Dexcom, and I don't have any business relationships with them or anything like that. I'm just saying that as a very pleased consumer and someone that will continue to buy and use their products.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree. They are. I mean, and it's like once you think you know they've done enough, and they just keep coming out back to back to back to back to back with things, and it's not where it's okay. We're going to give you this, and then we're going to make you wait. Everything that they do, it is what we've asked for in some way or fashion. People with diabetes and parents of children with diabetes. So to see that they listen, I'm blown away. Yep. Like I don't have any business relationships at all whatsoever, but I think that this product that they created, I mean, it's life changing.
Yeah. I did see though that the, and I expect this to be a temporary thing. And I again don't have any personal experience yet with this because I haven't received the G5, but I saw a frequently asked question on the Dexcom website that said the G5 was not yet compatible with the Apple Watch, so that you could not see, like right now I can use an Apple Watch to see my G4 blood sugars using the Dexcom Share 2, and that app has an Apple Watch app that goes along with it. But excuse me. According to that that statement on the website, the G5 won't yet work with the Apple Watch. But I think that that's just a matter of time, and that they'll update that before long.
Well, I don't know, because I saw that Stacy, it shows up on her iWatch. I mean, on her Apple Watch. And I'm like, wait a minute. I thought she said, I guess it does. Because it shows up. She sent me a picture of it. I'm like, hey. Because it's more enticing for me to go spend the money to get the watch now.
Right.
Granted, I use it more for social media than I would do for anything else. But at the same time, it's when I saw it on there, I'm like, okay. And I told Scott, oh, my gosh, look, it's on the watch.
We'll have to ask her, because I know that there's two ways to get your CGM data on the Apple Watch. One is through the Dexcom Share 2 software, and then there's another way through the Dexcom Follow software. So my experience so far has been that the using the Share 2, you know, the direct app is a little bit faster to update on the screen of the Apple Watch than the Follow software, because the Follow app has to sort of refresh the data from, you know, it goes on the watch to the phone to the cloud, and you know there's a few more steps or hops it makes before the information is refreshed on the screen. So it feels, the user experience feels a little bit slower. Now the Follow, that the method of using Dexcom Follow to get the information, I believe that will still work with the G5. So we'll have to ask Stacy if that's how she's doing it, or if it just works some other way. I'm really curious, actually, and I'd love to find out. So let's be sure to do that.
Yeah, because like I said, I don't know what she did, but she sent me, I got my G5 before she got hers, because FedEx didn't leave it on the porch. And then she sent me a picture of it on the watch, and it's the color and everything that I want. I was like, oh gosh, I want that watch. I said, oh, but it's your blood sugar. Oh, I want that watch. But yeah, I saw it. So you might have to send her a message to see how it's done. But because I know that Sarah Knotts told me that you have to take it and you can do it, but you just have to go around the system. I think she said, like, I have to share my share with myself or something to get alerts or something
to
that
that's
capacity.
Exactly, That's using that follow. So you would set yourself yourself up to follow yourself rather mm-hmm. than, you know, using Dexcom follow rather than just directly through share. So it's it's an interesting user experience. I think that there are a few kind of weird bumps in the road that it'll just be a bit of time before Dexcom irons all those out, or at least hopefully irons them out. There's a lot of I think room for improvement. The other really interesting thing, Charisse, is there, and we were actually talking about this, you and I, earlier today, there are some things that I miss about my Pebble watch, and in relation to seeing my blood sugar on it. So in the Dexcom application on the Apple Watch, the time of day is really quite small in the upper right-hand corner. And when I've got my blood sugar app loaded on my watch face so that I can see my blood sugar when I look at the watch, just imagine, there are two pieces of information that I'm interested in should I be looking at my watch. One would be, what is my blood sugar? And I'll include in that, direction, rate of change, whatever. The other information that I'm interested in would be time of day. Like, what time is it? And I want that to be bigger. So on the Pebble, it was really nice because the blood sugar was nice and big on the top half. And then the time of day was nice and big on the bottom half. So it's been really quite interesting to me how, the Apple Watch is super cool and I love it. But there are also things that the Night Scout group and the Pebble Watch do just a little bit better. So, but again, I think it's just a matter of time and iterations before we see those differences.
Yeah, I mean, there are some things that I wish, like the connectivity. Of course, I'm sure I'll get that with the Apple Watch that I don't get from the Pebble Watch. And I'm excited about being able to answer the phone from my watch and not to really answer it, but just to say, I'll call you back type of thing. I'm not available. Mm-hmm. And me, I'm just an Apple fanatic. So it could probably, just be pretty and I'll want it. So I'm just being real. I think that's probably like the only product that I have that I'm loyal to. Right. Because it just mm-hmm. makes me so happy that I just don't know, even though sometimes I'll be wondering if Steve Jobs is turning over in his grave. But for the most part, though, it's something that I've always had great customer service. Whenever I go into any store, whether it's, in California, here, or in Florida, always great, great customer service. So I love Apple.
Yeah, I agree. I'm the same. I enjoy most of my Apple experience too. There was one day that blew me away where I had to just get some accessories, something that I could get on the shelf that I didn't need to necessarily talk to anyone or wait around or anything like that. And I don't know about you, but I've never, ever gone into an Apple store and had them not be busy, right? Like, they're just always busy. And good for them for that, right? But when all I need is an accessory or something off the shelf, I don't want to have to stand around and wait for someone like hello, I'm just waiting to pay, come help me. So one time, this was a while back, I was standing there, I had my accessory, I'm standing there just with this look on my face, hello, come help me, I'm waiting to pay, I'm ready to go. And finally someone comes over and she taught me how to use the Apple Store app on my phone to check out myself. Like, I didn't even
know
they were there. Yeah. And it was so cool. It was tied into my Apple ID. So assuming that I wanted to pay for whatever item I was buying with my Apple ID, I could launch the app. It knew that I was in that Apple store, of course, and it loaded up a barcode scanner. I scanned the barcode, and it basically, I typed in my Apple store password, and boom, 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 and I could just take my thing and walk out the door. And it was an interesting experience because, you know, you're walking out the door after buying, like, you grab something off the shelf, and you interact with it in your phone for a few minutes, and then you just walk out the door. And, like, part of me is waiting for security to tackle me and ask for my receipt kind of thing, you know. But then it's, like, I think that they, like, they figured out that, like, it's worth that convenience and that user experience is worth the risk of whatever. You know, I don't know how they how they have the checks in place or whatever, but it was so cool. And I've used it multiple times since then, and it's really great. I don't have to, you know, there's some days I don't want to talk to anyone. You know, just let me go in and like, you can't avoid the first guy at the front door, you know, the one that kind of directs you where you need to go. The greeter, yeah. There's no escaping them. But after that, like, I don't want to talk to anyone else. Let me get my thing and be about my business, you know. And so with that app store, the Apple Store app, you can do that now. It was cool.
I did not know that. So I might have to go to the Apple Store just so I can use it.
Yeah, you should try it. You should, you know, buy some headphones or, you know, something and just, like, you know, yeah.
I was going to say, let's not talk about headphones because Scott purchased a pair of Beats earbuds for me. And, you know, the sound is amazing, right? But they broke. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, so, like, it has a short in it. And I'm like, okay, so when you think about Beats and Bose, I bought him a pair of Bose earphones when we first moved here about 5 years ago, and they still work fine. No short in the cord, no nothing. Even my Apple earbuds that come with the Apple phone, they all still work, even from the first generation. But a pair of Beats buds that cost a lot of money, they stop working after a year and a couple of months. I don't think I'll be buying those again. I'm kind of disappointed, actually.
You know, yeah, that's interesting. I'm actually glad, not glad to hear that, but I'm glad you shared that because one of the things you can do with an Apple Watch is you can actually store music on the watch and then pair it with Bluetooth headphones and then, like, go out for your run and have music on your Bluetooth headphones without having your phone. And so I've been eyeballing, and I mean, I can't afford a nice pair of cool Bluetooth headphones yet. But I've been wanting or thinking about some Beats Bluetooth headphones, but the reviews are not that great. They're saying the same, like, similar things, like, you know, that the controls short out or things like that. So I don't think I'll be getting the Beats.
It's pretty disappointing because, like I said, the sound is great, don't get me wrong, but then after, you know, a year and a couple of months, they break when you can go spend about the same amount of money for both and you still get the better quality and last longer.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to stick with Bose earphones. I think I'm kind of done with Beats. So maybe you should look at those.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that there's no, there are a few different brands. I can't remember off the top of my head. I'll have to research when I'm ready, but there are no, like, small, lightweight Bluetooth earbud type exercise Bose headphones. They're all either
That's
wired
true.
Or the big giant, like, over the ear ones. So last year, maybe the year before, bought myself some of the Bose earbud noise canceling headphones, and they're like magic. I can't even believe how incredible they work. So yeah, I'm also a fan of those. So your husband, his how is he doing with his diabetes?
You know what? He's doing good. It's funny because sometimes I'm serious. It's so crazy, right? We know that type 1 and type 2, they're different, but they have a lot of similarities. So I can eat the same thing that he eats, and I have insulin, and his blood sugar is better than mine without medicine. How do you do that? Can somebody, I need a scientist to explain to me how that happened. Because
It's crazy.
And he doesn't
right?
have insulin.
Well, he's got some insulin cooking somewhere, and his insulin is delivering right into the bloodstream where you and I were delivering into the subcutaneous tissue, and that really changes the timing of what we're dealing with. And I think what you're describing is just a really great example of what a difference that makes.
Man, I'm not even going to lie. Sometimes I'm like, dude, I'm jealous. Like, how did you do that? I want my blood sugar to look like that after eating that. But it's crazy, too, though, because so he's not on oral medicine at all. He's not on any medication at all. So it takes a lot of discipline. And I just don't know how he does. I mean, his body, of course, is different than the genetics and all that other stuff. But it's amazing. It's amazing. And I would I mean, I knew they were different, but to have somebody that lives in the house with me that we can pretty much eat similar things and get a totally different outcome, it's amazing.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
It's quite
an experience for you to like you say, you know, you've been exposed to the two types of diabetes in the online space, but to then have a whole different experience living in the same house. I bet that's really opened up your views on it. I've been doing a lot of thinking lately about just that there are more similarities than what we admit or give credit to. For example, are there things that people with type 2 diabetes do to manage their blood sugars that aren't also good for us as people with type 1 diabetes? Like all the things that the tools that they use and the methods that they use, we should be paying more attention to them because they would also be useful for us to learn more about, don't you think? Or is it just talking crazy?
I agree. No, because I want you – so remember when I was first diagnosed, I was on oral medication for 3 years, so I know what it's like not to have insulin and not to use it. However, I would not eat half the stuff that I eat now.
Mm.
I mean, when I went to – if I have french fries, I would literally count out 13 french fries and throw the rest – you know, put the rest in the refrigerator, or I would count out 15 grapes. I would count out 15 potato chips because I knew in my head that that's all I could do, or my blood sugar would go high. And then in order to get it down, I didn't have insulin. I would have to go for a walk.
Wow.
So, a lot of people that have type 2 that manage it well, they are very disciplined. And when I got on the insulin pump and on insulin, I lost it. And I'm trying to find my way back. Luckily, I'm not trying to find my way back on my own. I have somebody in the house, you know, that's walking the walk with me. But if he ate terrible things, then, of course, you know, out of habit, or not out of habit, but because he eats that way, I would eat that way. So So yeah. That's also been pretty good. And plus, you know, our daughter, she doesn't eat junk either, so that helps. But they're very disciplined. People that manage their type 2 diabetes, especially without any medication, very disciplined. I mean, it's hard, right? I would have to tell him to just have a piece of donut. No, I don't want it. And I'm like, but just a small piece? Okay, just a small piece, that's it. I don't think I've actually seen him. It's been a little over, wait a minute, what year is this? Okay, so he was diagnosed in June. So I probably haven't seen him. I only saw him eat a dessert maybe twice.
Wow.
Since he's been diagnosed. So it's just small things for them. Those small things to them and those big things are, for us, it's like, yeah, we can eat a cupcake. And to them, they're like, oh, heck no, I can't touch that cupcake because I know that I don't have anything to bring it back down and I'm going to stay high for a long period of time.
Yeah.
I think sometimes I take insulin for granted, and I abuse it.
I definitely do. Yeah, no, it's true. I look at I'm thinking that there are people living with type 2 diabetes doing so much more work, and there are so many things that I have to learn from those people, and that I should perhaps be paying a little more attention to them and what they're doing, and how I could use those lessons to manage my diabetes a bit better. So,
I think, which is funny, which is kind of actually cool that you mentioned that, because the amazing folks over at Diabetes Hands Foundation, they're doing a series next month, I believe. Or is it this month?
It's happening right now. Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so for people with type 2 diabetes, I mean, it's just not for people with type 2 diabetes, but that's what the focus is. But I think it would be a great opportunity for those that have type 2, but for those that have type 1 to listen so they can learn from it as well, and it's very educational topics as well.
Yeah, and they've got some really great, so this is part of the live interviews that are happening, and I'm just pulling it up now so that I can give some more information about it. And all of these interviews, the live interviews that are happening, will be available as replays as well. So if you miss the actual live event, you can tune in once they get the recording uploaded. But today they had journalist and author Gary Taubes, who has written a number of very, very popular books. Let's see what else we've got coming up. So next Wednesday on the 7th, as part of the Type 2 series, Addressing Shame and Blame with Susan Guzman. She is a clinical psychologist specializing in diabetes. Her clinical and research focus areas include overcoming emotional challenges that interfere with management, family issues, and promoting attitudes that, and I have to load the rest of the page here, promoting attitudes that support living well with diabetes from diagnosis throughout life. Dr. Guzman integrates empathy, acceptance, and practical guidance to help people better utilize their strengths in living life with diabetes. That one sounds fantastic, and one that I'm going to try and tune into as well. Let's see, there are a couple of more. Mike Durbin, My Diabetic Heart, is going to be talking with Rick Phillips on the 22nd. A friend of mine, Ansley Dalbo, she is going to be talking about a great resource that she's been working on, Diabetes What to Know. That one is happening on the 13th. So all of these can be, more information can be found by going to 2diabetes, that's tudiabetes.org/events. So, yeah, it's a really wonderful series that they're doing focused on type 2 diabetes. But like you say, Charisse, these are events that I think all of us could learn from. So I'm so glad that you mentioned that. That was something I had on my mind to bring up during the show tonight. And, excuse me, just had forgotten about. So I'm glad that you remembered.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And you know what? I got one more thing before we go. Since we were talking about products, the amazing folks at Timesulin, the caps got approved for use in the United States recently. And I know they're selling at, I think I saw Kmart and a couple of other places. But for those that's not familiar with Timesulin, basically it's a cap that goes over your insulin pens and it counts back to the last time that you took your last shot. So that way you're not overdosing or giving yourself too much insulin. Overdosing sounds really cruel. But if you're interested in something like that, I definitely encourage you to take a look at it. It's good for people that are MDIs and also good for us to like take pump breaks from time to time. And they're amazing people and with great products. So if, like I said, if it's something that you are in a market for, they're definitely the pen caps actually are amazing.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I'm a big fan of the Timesulin folks, so that's exciting news coming out of Timesulin headquarters. So, with that, are we ready to close down shop? It's been a really fun discussion tonight.
Yes, shut it down.
All right. Well, we would like to thank all of you for listening and participating in the show tonight. Remember, DSMA Live is a program provided by the Diabetes Community Advocacy Foundation. Visit dsmalive.org to listen to our archived shows, read show notes, and check the schedule of events for upcoming shows. You can also subscribe to the podcast by searching for DSMA Live in the iTunes Store. Be sure and wear blue tomorrow for Blue Fridays. And until next Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, we'd like to wish you all a very happy and healthy week.